Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. And my name is Tammy, and with me is Althea. I was going to say, I'm Althea, and with me is Tammy. Boom.
Let's save that for April Fool's Day, huh?
Ooh.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm a little confused. I got a new phone, so everything is confusing. So if it goes off in the middle of the show, I'm so sorry. I don't know how to silence it.
I could help you. We can work on it in the break. Yeah, Tammy got an iPhone, and she's been sending me, like, the Memojis.
I tell you, the greatest minds of our generations, all they did is, like, figure out how to make emojis talk, and I love it.
Yeah, the greatest minds of our generation turned me into a cartoon, and now it's a little video on my phone, which is cool.
Got little fangs. But anyways, yeah.
This is The Gap.
Hello. This is a weekly program here on KBOO. For new listeners of the show, we usually like to part the show into two parts. First part is either an interview or a round up discussion about some news and views. And then the second part is the community question, when we open up the phone lines to you, the listener, to become a caller. And that's later on down the line at the bottom of the hour. But yeah, super stoked to be here with you. How are you enjoying this rain?
It was like a rain-snow mix at my house.
And
I'm okay with it being rain. I like that I don't need the snow to stick, you know, personally. I'm over it. I'm thinking about summertime. I'm thinking about how in just like 2 weeks it's spring. Mm. Not even 10 days, not even that long. Sort of dreaming about that, I suppose.
Well, you know what it's not even April yet, so I can't even say that.
No.
Never mind. I'll save it.
Hey guys, stick around. In a couple weeks, we're going to say, she's going to say the thing, and it's going to be really exciting.
I'm looking forward to river days and that warm, you know, the warm sand in the bottom of your feet.
Mm.
I don't know what that name is. There's a name for that feeling.
Yeah.
That granular little teeny tiny little pieces of sand just like heating you up.
I'm getting all wistful just about the thought of summertime, you know?
But also raining time is also good.
Yeah. I'm good with the rain.
Washing away all of our sorrows.
Wash it all away. Feed all of our plants.
I'll take all of this over ice for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anywho's, yeah.
Anywho'sies, we got a news roundup for you today in the first half. What is going on? We have so much to talk about. Where do you want to start?
It's all so intertwined. We can start. It's all City Hall is really, they're dropping like flies over there. Dropping the ball and dropping like, just a lot of dropping. A lot of droppings.
Yeah.
We can start with the Truth and Reconciliation Project, which just sounds so scary. Sci-fi-ish, South Africa.
Right, that's what you think of when you think of Truth and Reconciliation. Would you believe there's a project for that in Portland? When I hear Truth and Reconciliation, I think of, you know, the Canadian government and residential schools and, like, the Catholic Church and stuff.
Generally bad things.
Generally enormously bad things, which is, you know, it's a process of restorative justice to, you know, establish a clear historical record and bring communities back together in like, you know, situations where there's been, like, hugely abusive leadership. And so there was a plan, and I believe there still is a plan, to establish a Truth and Reconciliation Commission for Portland between communities of color and its police. Part of this is born out of the 2014 settlement with the city and the U.S. Department of Justice, because the police bureau had and continues to have, because we're still not out of the settlement, a pattern of using excessive force against people in mental health crises. So, right, let's establish a commission. Let's show the truth. Let's build trust between police and communities of color, right? That's what they're saying they're going to do. Do they have an open bid process?
No. Wild guess, no.
Wild guess, no. And, you know, but would you believe that there was a company created, you know, merely a month or so before submitting, called Trust Lab, that was comprised almost, at least in half, like 4 out of 10 advisors were either Portland police veterans or people who were actively in the police force, trying to, as the sole company that would be running a Truth and Reconciliation process. Now, on its face, you know, like, we have reason to be skeptical. But do they have any kind of experience with this kind of work? Mm. No. Did they ask if they had experience? No. Did they run this as an entirely wrong process to even be taking one-off bids because they were mistakenly calling it a pilot project? Yes. But, you know, that there's this entire, you know, the president of the Portland Police Association, the police union at the time, was one of their advisors, and initially, you know, condemned the project because it was based on the very theory that Portland police are racist. And so, you know, coming, which, you know, remember what they were paying you for, but it was going to be a $200,000 city contract to set up a truth and reconciliation, commission. And it was done in the most, I mean, it was like really backdoor and haphazard. I mean, haphazard yeah. kind of like implies like it wasn't on purpose, you know? And this is all from a city auditor's report, I should say. Like, the city auditor is the one being like, hey, what the heck are you guys doing?
The city auditor is really, I don't know, they're not going to let her do her job. They're going to push her. It's, and we're seeing it. We'll get to it a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But I'm just blown away by this. There's in this OPB article, they were talking about how in 2020 there was a proposed, you know, there's the proposed budget, and Commissioner Joanne Hardesty took the lead organizing public meetings, gather public input, and how the commission should operate, panel discussions with experts in truth and reconciliation work.
Mm.
And so again, this is, you know, I called it once she's out of there, there's like no one who is there for the like representing the people or the constituents of Portland. And yeah, I think that
there was a secondary, so the trust lab thing failed, the contract failed. The city in October issued a request for proposals for other groups, and people submitted to it, but then closed the process and said it was just on hold. And in an Oregon Live article, Hardesty says, yeah, I think that, like, as soon as I was out of office, mm-hmm. they, like, didn't care anymore.
That's,
you know?
That's, yes, I totally agree with that. Yeah. And it seems, I don't know what the legality is around it, but I feel like this is, there's, like, rules around open bids and competitive bidding, and I sense that they violated it in some way. I don't know if they did or not, but I wonder if they did. I guess
they
I
did
say.
Because they like miscategorized it as a quote unquote pilot project, and that's kind of and look, we've been talking about this a lot on this show. It's been an ongoing theme of quote unquote pilot projects and getting direct contracts from the city without a bidding process. And not to, like, hold up the idea of a bidding process as, like, a competitive market, and that ensures that everything's going to be good and fair. But it is, like, it is better than just direct dealing and handing city money over to some company that may or may not know what they're doing. And so I mean, it sets off, like, one level of red flag for me. I don't want anybody to think that I'm, like, do competitive bids. It's so good for everyone all the time. Especially not when it's, you know, things, as we'll discuss later, maybe the city shouldn't be doing in the first place.
Open market.
But, you know, they miscategorized it as a pilot program and not as, you know, work that the city is committed to doing long term as a part of their settlement and something that has been, like, pushed for and led by the community. And so that's kind of, like, what they're pointing to. It was, like, these two staffers in the quote-unquote, in the procurement office. There's a lot of city offices, I tell you what, that did that, and they haven't made comment about it yet. But that's...
It's almost as though they don't care about marginalized communities who are disproportionately affected by policing.
Yeah, and we know that Portland can slap together a committee. Okay, I'm not really sure.
Stop them.
Like, I you know, it reeks. It reeks of insider dealing. It reeks of trying to sabotage the process. It reeks of, you know, continuing to give Portland police outsized power over and over again, you know? Their budget is bigger than it ever has been, and they're still complaining. They're sitting on their hands saying they don't have enough.
Oh, they just got some new cars. You see?
Oh, my. They got a plane. Did you know? They got a plane. They approved to give the Portland police a plane. And at the same week that a report comes out that there's, like, 30 or so lampposts in city parks that are just, like, too dangerous to even still be up there.
Damn. Well,
as long as we're spending our money in the right places, as long as we're sort of just handing it to anyone who started a company yesterday and says that they know how to do something as important as truth and reconciliation work. I mean, like, let me just state the obvious. How are we supposed to trust, you know?
Trust Lab?
Trust Lab?
It's in the name. Olivia. Oh. What's wrong with you? Of course we can trust
That actually
it.
Reframes everything for me. I take back all my criticism. How are we supposed to trust if that's the kind of thing? And like, even now, Portland Police Association is headed to arbitration over not wearing body cameras, which has been an ongoing thing that they've been supposed to do for nearly 10 years.
And the DOJ is, you know...
Because of the DOJ settlement. And not even, like, the DOJ has everybody's best interest or understands what policing could or should be in this town. That's, like, the bare minimum that we can't get out from under this dang settlement, you know? Anyway.
I wonder if, because you know... I just wonder at what point, like, who will they have to answer to? Because if they don't care about the constituents who keep voting for them, then don't forget there's elections happening and restructuring of the government and everything.
Mm.
Then who are they, like, who's their boss?
Yeah.
Who's going to be like, no, stop it.
I mean, Ted Wheeler's their boss.
No, like, right I now, meant.
But yeah, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Besides, obviously, you know, capital H him.
I mean, if somebody kicks you in the shins, they shouldn't be the one leading the process to make sure nobody gets kicked in the shins again.
Boom.
You know? You got a history. Be part of the process. Learn to not kick people in the shins. But from all we know, your first reaction is to kick people in the shins.
Also, it's for the process itself, and even for... It's, like, just not fair. It's like, setting people up to lose. And I hate when that happens, because it either means someone was being lazy and kicking the buck, you know, like the buck didn't stop with them when it should have, or they don't care, or like you said, there's like something a bit more calculated that's where there's people's interests and money, you know, like go hand in hand. And when you said that, you know, like the backroom dealings made me think of Urban Alchemy and that whole situation.
Well, let's pivot to it, shall we?
Sure. This is, woof.
There's a good Street Roots report out this week. I interviewed Piper McDaniel, who wrote it. Check the website for that. But talking with a property owner in the city who was at one time in talks with Portland to offer up for rent some property for the mass encampment plan that Ted Wheeler, Sam Adams, Dan Ryan, Rene Gonzalez put together. And just sort of getting an inside look about what that is like, what is going on in that process. It's a lot of, I don't know. It's not attractive to, like, they're having, like, it doesn't say that explicitly in this article, but read between the lines. They're having trouble getting people to want to sign on to this. And they've only gotten one contractor. Mind you, they were ready to just hand $5 million to Urban Alchemy until there was community pushback of, like, could we at least have a competitive bid process? Urban Alchemy, mind you, started in the pandemic as, like, having hand washing stations and has grown rapidly to snap up San Francisco City contracts managing these types of camps. In San Francisco... And doing so with certain loopholes that allow them to basically be police without any of the regulation.
That I saw recently on a Instagram post by Street Roots, they did a little breakdown. I did not realize how scandalous Urban Alchemy is. It's doesn't sound like a safe organization for themselves, let alone for other people or to help other people or in any way police or monitor other people. There was this... I don't know if you can pull it up with Sisters of the Road. Oh, Sisters
post?
Of the Road. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I was shocked by that. There was abuse. There is drug dealing by workers of Urban Alchemy, and not to mention more recently, a worker from Urban Alchemy shot someone right outside of a shelter. I'm like just mouth open.
Yeah, I'd love to point out two specific things. Urban Alchemy is not a licensed security company, yet they patrol public spaces by calling their workers ambassadors. They bypass rules that define private security and policing. They also say here, that outsourcing, you know, it's all about outsourcing government functions. This is a tweet from Stop the Sweeps PDX. The intention of programs like Urban Alchemy is to outsource what would normally be public sector mm-hmm. jobs, such as street cleaning, to private companies in order to cut down on labor costs, i.e. higher wages, benefits, and union representation.
I thought that was a great, I love that they broke it down like that, because it's, and also, you know, this fellow who shot someone.
In San Francisco.
Which Urban Alchemy didn't fire until he didn't show up to work.
Yeah.
So he did what Althea said last night. What'd you say?
Oh, it's like, I can excuse, it's the community quote that Tammy loves so much that we riff on all the time, that I can excuse shooting someone, but I draw the line at not showing up for work.
they got their boundaries, I guess.
One strike policy.
And they, oh my God, $18.7 million contract
from San Francisco
government.
And I mean, we've discussed this before. A couple things to point out. One, the initial plan was six camps of 500 people.
I think it was three of 500.
There's about 3,000 homeless Portlanders right now. Mm-hmm. It started as three 500-person camps and is now six 150-person camps. The math does not add up.
Who's doing this math?
I don't know. But nobody... I mean, there's multiple reasons that this is not really getting off the ground. One, like, people are... One is that people don't necessarily want this in their neighborhood. Regardless of whether the fact they are, you know, appalled by the idea of forcing people into a mass camp mm-hmm. in their neighborhood, or just the idea of having poverty visibly near them, even if they maybe support the plan, people don't want it around them, right? And two is that there is, like, no information about or specifics about how it's going to be run. Are people going to be, like, they're saying no weapons allowed. Are people going to be searched anytime they come in the perimeter? Are people going to be forced into these camps? They don't have answers for this kind of thing. And when Street Roots is asking, when this person who was trying to rent was asking, they say, well, that's going to be something to ask, like, our subcontractor, which they don't have. And why are you allowing a subcontractor, a business, not the least of which isn't even from here, hasn't ever done this work here, to decide, like, human rights type questions for Portlanders?
As a business, that's not...
When you're the government.
The business doesn't... Well, not like the government has a good history of human rights.
No, you know, but they have a particular mandate to care about.
Yeah, there you go. There's like, it's in the workbook, you know, in the employee handbook that, yeah, it's like low-key part of your job. But yeah, this... And it makes me so sad because there are so many institutions, great institutions. And I know I mention it all the time, but I'm not going to stop mentioning, but like... You know, Sisters of the Road, Central Mission, Street Roots, that have been doing this work, and not in like just a hand washing station. I'm not trying to like, that's amazing and needed, especially during pandemic.
Yeah.
But you know, there's statistics. They have the reports of folks who die on the streets and how, and they've been doing this for at least the last 20 years. You know, so. I'm just really confused about why. Well, I'm not confused. Kind of goes back to, in my mind, of thinking, well, they're showing us where their interests are. So how do we figure out what their end point is? Like, we're seeing which path they're going down. So like, where are they taking this to? And again, with the Truth and Reconciliation Project, it's not the interests of the voters or the constituents
or the taxpayers.
The taxpayers, yeah. Or the people or the Portlanders or your neighbor or you or me. So who is it? Whose interest is it? Is it California developers? Because that's really what it's starting to look or what it's been looking like.
I mean, and just that, like, we're so, and we've talked about this too, is that, like, once you start spending city money on something, it's hard to stop. I mean, that's a function of government, and not to go all big government, small government.
You said it's a little Reagan-y.
But I mean that is part of this conversation, that we're handing stuff over to like firms that are not either started a month ago or started 3 years ago and have little like track record or accountability on this stuff when there are a bunch that do. And also that we're going to hand over $5 million city dollars to a company that says that they can do this, that's been flying out our city commissioners to see what they're up to.
Getting flued out.
when for that same amount of money, we could house people and put them in supportive services, you know, which would actually fix the problem. This does not fix the problem. This puts the problem in a parking lot, you know, and there's like no, we don't know that it's going to work for people. There's not a lot of evidence. Like if they're being searched, that's something that people don't want. That's one of the reasons people don't like going to congregate shelters, is that it's not meeting people's needs. And the need is for shelter. And even if you're one of the people who may or may not know this about yourself, but you're mad that you're seeing poverty in front of you, if they're in a house, there's your problem stitched up. You know what I mean? And that, and you see people on Instagram and Twitter who will get very mad. They're like, oh, these addicts, they're getting shitty money. And where's my thing? It's like, first of all, I understand the economy is hard on all of us, but it, you know, what you're saying, what your solution is to throw more money at something that's not even going to make anything better, to give your money away, to get, I don't know.
I think what we are seeing very clearly, and we've seen it during the midterm election, is that if all of us just got a 96% discount on our monthly rent, like Rene Gonzalez got.
Hello.
For his office.
Downtown office space.
Yeah. Then I think a lot of us will be able to take on other people's rents for a little bit and help out. I don't know. That sounds like I'll never get over that.
You shouldn't.
The person who's throwing people out into the streets, like literally from tents industry, it already bad situation turned worse.
Yeah.
In the worst like snowstorm that I've at least experienced in the last like what 3 years here. Where I guess whatever 2020 was also pretty bad, but bad snowstorm.
Yeah, bad snowstorm.
And this is the same guy that got a 96% discount on his monthly, rent for his office space downtown.
The hypocrisy.
I would say the irony, but it's a hypocrisy. Some things aren't ironic; they're just hypocritical.
I don't know. This is one of those things. It's like, what if I could say it to his face? What would he say then?
And
it's
I
don't think he sees the correlation, I'll be honest.
We get paid not to see the correlation.
Do you want to touch on the Dan Ryan stuff?
Oh yeah, that's Dan Ryan. Dan Ryan having the worst day ever.
So all of the stuff that he was previously in charge of in the last term got reshuffled. Right. Ted Wheeler moved the bureau assignments around, saying that it was part of the transition to a new government. But also all of the stuff that Dan Ryan said he was going to do, like the Safe Rest Villages 3 years ago, he said he was going to have six in a year. We have one, I think, has not, like, if we're measuring people who've been successful, who've, you know, made plans to try to improve things for people and, you know, see those plans to fruition, we're not seeing a lot of that from Dan Ryan. And two of the new bureaus that he's in charge of, within 5 hours of each other, two directors quit from different bureaus or from different offices. One of them explicitly citing that they do not get along with Dan Ryan from the DEI director.
Wait a second.
I gotta go.
I know that it's an article. I don't want to name drop just because I don't want to be rude. But is it three people all together?
I'm not sure.
Because there's the human, the equity and human rights.
Yeah.
Office, and they left, and then there is the other one with the community and civic life. Those are the two. Those are the two departments. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Lost both of them in the span of 2 hours. Lisa Watson was the head of the Office of Equity and Human Rights since May of last year, and wrote in a letter to her staff, "It is time for me to move on, and for the commissioner to find a director who is able to effectively and efficiently move his vision forward."
Man, I've got to get her on the show.
The vision for the Equity and Human Rights Office.
Get them
apparently
up in here.
Is incompatible. Good to know. The Community and Civic Life Office, which used to be like neighborhood engagement, the interim director has a leave of absence that was announced several hours before the other person. left. So
it sounds like a toxic work environment. I don't know if you watch Abbott Elementary, but there's one of the teachers said, if one student fails, it's probably on the student.
Yeah.
But if all the students fail, it's probably on the teacher.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Keep an eye out on that, look at the job listing, see what's going on.
What is going on in city council? And they're not even throwing money at
That's what I'm saying. It's dropping like flies and dropping balls and dropping flies.
Yeah. Well, and I want to circle back to our year theme, which I don't know if we've brought up recently. Oh, yeah. Do you want to say it?
Get it down in writing.
Get it down in writing. And I think that applies to all of these, you know? Get it down in writing.
Oh, I can't imagine. I wonder if there's going to be some stuff leaking soon from some memos or something leaked.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
Very interesting indeed. City Council, man.
Is this who we are?
Is this? I guess.
Good for them. I don't know.
This is who we are.
I'm always down for people quitting. I'm like, good for you.
Good for you. Get out of there. You're better off.
Let's see. Do we have time for one more?
Do you want to do the shout out, or what do you want to? You do whatever you want, lady.
Okay, I want to talk about the Greater Idaho legislation.
Yeah.
Greater Idaho legislation. If you hear that and you're like, what is she talking about? Or if you heard that and there's like, oh, red light.
Mm.
Yes, it is a big red light. So there's been, since the 70s and 80s, this plan of trying to basically create an all-white ethno state in...
Well, it dates back further than that, but under the Greater Idaho.
Oh, yes, under the Greater Idaho movement, specifically... around rural Oregon and parts of Idaho, and
parts of rural Washington too, I believe.
Oh wow, you know, they gotta get themselves in there.
Yeah, they love to be part of the conversation.
And this is called the Northwest Territorial Imperative, and I saw a little lecture about it, and I was like, wow, that's insane! Like, I can't believe that people actually tried to like change the country, like the state lines, to create an all-white ethno state, like a state within America that's just all white people.
I mean, that was part of Oregon's initial constitution.
Yes. Yes.
But Greater Idaho being the continuation of that idea.
And in the 70s and 80s, and it's all part of the history of the Western states in general. So I shouldn't be surprised, but I always am surprised because I wasn't born bigoted and hated, or I was born bigoted. I was not born bigoted nor hateful. So it's really strange to me whenever I hear these things, because it's like, wow, don't just go in your house and ignore your neighbors if you hate them that much, you know?
Mm.
But no, of course, white supremacy means you got to have everything, and there's a privilege, and the world revolves around you because you are the sunshine of everyone's lives.
Mm.
And now there is... I can't believe it. Republican housemakers that want to create a Greater Idaho again. And it's called the Greater Idaho legislation. And it's actually moving forwards in Boise. And I'm so shocked. I think mostly I'm shocked because I'm seeing a lot of self-proclaimed... I'm gonna annoy people. I'm seeing a lot of self-proclaimed free thinkers just self-proclaimed free thinkers and libertarians thinking that this... And some anarchists thinking that this is like... a good idea in any way at all, but it's not. And it's terrifying, and it's quite frankly very bigoted and has a history in bigotry that's not just soft bigotry. I don't know, people think, oh, you can't say anything anymore. It's not like that. It's like literally neo-Nazis that that have created this plan, and now somehow it's found its way again into legislation. Wow. I'm just shocked.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like my like first reaction to this is, well, there's like a lot of ways that it's never going to happen, but you know, stranger things have happened, and that's not a reason for us to not look at it and call it what it is.
Even their flag is like literally a flag that's like a hate crime. It's like a, up there with like swastikas and stuff. It's considered a hate symbol. Yeah, so, and if folks are interested in hearing about this and they're like, what, I've never heard of this before, it's called the Northwest Territorial Imperative. And it's quite terrifying.
Sorry, looking at the flag now.
Yeah, and
wow,
it does have a
that's
lot.
Awful.
It has a lot to do with, like on the back of the Oregon Black Exclusion laws, only in the sense of once those laws were revoked, and I'm putting
she's air quoting folks. Quote,
there's a lot of backlash. It was I think it was like 10 years after the first NAACP chapter opened up in Portland, the first Klan's open Klan rallies like started.
Yeah.
So every time, you know, two steps forward, three steps back, but this cannot. This isn't like a new idea that someone thought to be quirky or interesting. This isn't about rural rights. This isn't about farming. This isn't about any of that. This is straight up neo-Nazi legislation that is in 2023. Here we are. But again, we've moved up, you know, like we've progressed so much that it makes sense that this type of reactionary legislation will pop up. But I just want people to understand where this is coming from. This isn't original. This isn't cute. This is super dangerous, and we have to stop it.
Yeah. Well, it was a couple weeks ago that Idaho passed a non-binding measure just to say, oh, we have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know. But what I just to add a little bit of like, you know, there are some counties in Eastern Oregon that have already passed things saying that they want to, but there were, you know, referendums of like, we want to join Idaho that failed in multiple counties in the last election. And there was also news coverage in terms of on the Oregon side of things, going to one of these rallies, there were like five people there trying to mobilize people around Greater Idaho. That, and this may be changed now because of the Idaho legislature's referendum or non-binding measure, I should say, but not a ton of, you know, steam and excitement for it in Oregon as of the last 6 months. So
they'll I'll deflate that balloon every time that I can.
Yeah.
I'll crush those dreams hardcore, happily, willingly.
It's never going to happen.
God willing.
Never going to happen.
God willing, it'll never happen.
Knocking on wood, but it's never going to happen. Are we ready for a little musical break to come back to the people with our community question?
I guess, can we do a really quick shout out?
Do your shout out. Please.
I saw an awesome article from The Scanner about Caribou opens Portland's first transitional facility geared towards Black men. And it looks really awesome. It's a stabilization program. It's the only one of its kind, and it's geared specifically towards Black men. And we have Black counselors, case managers, and peer support specialists. And it seems really awesome because Black men are one of the populations that are most underserved when it comes to mental health care in the whole country. So that's awesome here in Portland. And Caribou is Swahili for welcome.
Hmm.
Yes, it's run by the Central City Concerns with funding from CARE Oregon and Multnomah County. And we can link the article from The Scanner in the show notes. So
yeah,
just wanted to shout him out.
Loves it. All right, folks, this is The Gap on KB Radio. We will be back in just a moment for our community question. In the meantime, enjoy a little tune.
Yes, a little bit of Jill Scott with Golden, and we're back on KBOO Portland's The Gap Radio, and we're opening up the phone lines for our second part of the program, our community question. Althea, you want to throw it out to the audience?
Yes, our community question is, what is a compliment you would really like to get? What's a compliment you like to give people? How do you receive compliments? We're talking about compliments today. Give us a call, 503-231-8187. Let us know what you think.
Once my grandma told me I have an interesting face, and I thought that was, I was like, wow, that's the best compliment I've ever had. And then I told someone that my grandma had said I had an interesting face, and that they made the sound you made. They're like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I guess contextually, it would matter how it was said, you know?
Face, I think I've got an interesting face. I'll look myself
I'm interested all the time. In your face. Boom. How about that? Put it a different way. And now we're back to being a compliment again.
503-231-8187. General compliment question. What's a compliment you like to get, or what's a compliment you like to give? How do you receive compliments? And I guess, you know, you got to learn to receive them too. I don't know if it's something that people can just take.
Yeah. I know that's like, especially when you're young and there's like, you know, discomfort with being known or seen by other people, that it can be difficult to take compliments or can kind of feel like you're being put on the spot. Or people are like immediately like knee jerk reaction trying to compliment you back. It's like, well, your skirt's cool. It's like, well, I it probably is cool, but I wish that it was kind of coming out of a, you know, but I don't feel like I take that so much personally. If I'm like, cool shirt. And they're like, dude, your pants are amazing.
Do you like receiving compliments?
I think it depends on the kind. And that was part of why I liked this question of what's a compliment you'd really like to get. You know, it's like, how do you, and in a way it's about like, how do you want to be thought of, you know? Maybe I mentioned this before on the show, but if you tell me I'm brave, I love that. I figured that out when I went apple picking and I didn't want to carry anything. And my friend was like, well, you're being really brave. And I was like, I'm being brave, you say, by carrying all the apples. You got it. I'm on it.
I didn't think of what compliments are, because it's like someone else seeing something in you that you want shown.
Yeah,
you
know? I think she was being kind of sarcastic, but yeah, it really was like a cheat code for my brain. I'm like, well, I'm being brave right now, so I guess I can do it.
Just sharing this with on the radio. I hope no one uses it against you.
Yeah, well,
I think sorry,
can I say one tangent?
Go for it.
My friend Peter has a thing where if you tell him, you're like, hey Peter, do that, and he'll be like, no, I'm not gonna do that. You tell him to do something twice, he'll do it.
Oh,
for me it's like, hey Althea, carry these apples. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And they're like, will you be really brave if you do? And I'm like, okay, I guess I will.
Woof.
You don't like that one?
Well, I just got a flashback from my mom saying, I don't have to ask you twice.
Well, it just takes twice in my friend Peter's case.
Well, you know, now I don't know. Now I'm getting a little bit more psychological with this question.
Yeah.
Because it's, what does it bring up when someone gives you a compliment? How they give you the compliment? Because sometimes, okay, so I'm a woman, girl, and every once in a while, I like to flip it up with the hair, you know?
Sure.
And when people see that, I don't, like, there's ways that people can compliment me on my hair that makes me feel like, oh, nice. And then there's a way that makes me feel, like, really skeeved out, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, and then, like, the thing of, like, genuine compliments, and then you have backhanded compliments. I don't know. Interesting question.
Well, and sometimes it's, like, you might get a compliment on something that you've never considered.
Yeah, those are the best.
Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, because then you're like, why are you noticing things about me that I don't even know about myself? You know, I think I've told you this story, but when I would take takeout orders over the phone at a restaurant I worked at, you know, some older gentleman cracked a joke, and then when he came in to pick up his order, he's like, you have a beautiful laugh. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's a skeevy. Thank you. I'm not feeling that.
I don't know. I remember going back and forth on it at the time because my gut reaction was like, oh, okay. But then I was like, well, maybe he hasn't made anybody laugh recently. It was too intense for my liking. And also, you know, as somebody who tells jokes and wants to get a reaction out of people, you shouldn't go back and gloat. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
That's my personal sort of credo about jokes.
503-231-8187. And I think of jokes of how people who've been, like, you know, raised societally, like, as women. And it's like that, I don't know, I can't, I don't, like, how do dudes compliment each other? Like, I like your car. I don't know, you know?
It's, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's less of an inroad. If you're a dude and you want to talk about compliment culture, let us know.
Oh, yeah, compliment
503-231-8187. That is a compliment that I love to receive, is being told that I'm funny.
Yes, but then you have to, because you have compliments from people you know, and then compliments from strangers, I guess. Those are the first levels.
Yeah.
And it compliments from strangers, it can only be on how you look, almost, right? Or like what you have, or what you look, or what you're, you know, outside.
You got a cool vibe. You got a good energy walking into this coffee shop.
I walked into a Safeway and this girl said, I like your outfit. I did not like that compliment.
Yeah.
I appreciate her being brave, though. I'm going to grab this phone call.
And that girl was me, folks. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't. But, yeah, compliments. Well, because I think that probably all of us have a story of, like, thinking of a compliment that you've gotten that you're like really hits you in your heart and you're like, wow, I feel so seen in this moment. And other times where you've gotten a compliment where you're like, I actually don't resonate with that at all. And I don't know if I wanted you to say that to me. But please do give us a call. Let us know what you think. 503-231-8187.
And we have Idris on the line. Can you hear us?
Hello.
How about now?
Can you hear us okay?
I want to try this one.
Whoop.
Can you hear us here?
If other folks want to call and make Tammy's dealing with the phones a little more complicated, 503-231-8187. Please,
getting some calls.
Please let us know. We're talking about compliments. What's a compliment that you really like getting? What's a compliment you like to give to people? How do you receive compliments? Is it comfortable? Are you waiting on the compliment? Is it how you, you know, get introduced to people? It can be a good way to make, you know, to get to know somebody, or to say like, hey, I really like that thing you did, or you got really cool shoes, or I like the pins on your bag, you know?
I said, why are you staring so hard? That's what I said. And I can't. It's like my initial reaction. I'd just be like, you're trying to fight? What? I know that's not what they're trying. It's the East Coast in me. I can't let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Idris, can you hear us? You're on the line. Oh, nope. That's fine. I'm sorry. You're gonna have to figure that bad boy out. 503-231-8187. And compliment culture, as Althea was saying.
Well, yeah, like, is it a good idea to compliment people, you know? What are you complimenting people on? What do you notice about people? What are things you don't like to be pointed out? I mean, that's something that Tammy was alluding to, is like, it's not, and you know, as we've has been a subject of much discussion of like, hey, maybe if you like don't know a woman, don't, you know, comment on her looks. That's often unwelcome.
Best comment I will take, I like your band shirt. I'll take that.
Yeah,
and we got Barb on the, nope, we don't. I'm assuming, I think there's something maybe wrong with the phones.
Oh, are we on night mode or something?
We are not, but I'm going to try to pick up this next
one. All right. Well, look, we appreciate people calling. I will take this opportunity to let you know the other ways that you can get in contact with us. We have an Instagram account at The Gap Radio. You can message us there. You can send us emails. Our email address is thegapradio@gmail.com. We love to hear from you and chat on there. You know, some folks don't want to call in, and that's A-okay for us.
I figured out that something is wrong with the Telos. Sorry, y'all.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Well, what do we think? Should I do our mailbag really quick?
Hold on a sec. Can you hear us, Barbs? Let me grab it. Can you hear me now, Barb?
Hello?
Oh, that's so unfortunate. Boy. Well, something not working makes sense.
Does it?
Yep. I will take this off online, but I am so sorry, y'all.
Here's a compliment we can't get today. Hello, it sounds like your phones are working. And I appreciate that about you guys. So we are sorry for that. I will take this moment to do our mailbag segment. Mailbag. Open the present, see what's inside. You can also send us mail. I didn't get to that part of it, but you can send to The Gap, to Tammy and Althea at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And we did get some mail this past week from Harry. Harry sent us some cool bookmarks. Thank you, Harry. We really appreciate it. If you want to send us a postcard or really, you know, whatever you think of, something you know, nice, I would hope, that is where you can send it, and we'll shout you out on the show. We love to be in communication. We are being communicationally challenged at the moment, and I am sorry about that, but we do really appreciate everybody listening. As always, compliments to you. We do have some of the best listeners and the best callers. You know, folks come to our show and give us their thoughts, and we really do appreciate, you know, the opportunity to interact with folks every week. And, you know, if you've thought about calling today, maybe isn't the day, but send us an Instagram message, send us an email. We love to hear from people.
Yes, we do. And sorry, all the phone lines are not working because the ghost ate it or something. But Barb did say that they have a pink beret that they wear.
Ooh.
Shockingly pink.
Shockingly
yes,
pink.
Yes, I want to get this right. And they said that when people always compliment, and they said, thank you. But Barb is thinking of saying, I'm glad instead, because of how happy, because they didn't do anything but just put it on.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So I'm going to start saying I'm glad. Or I like that. I like that. Or I like your this and that. Well, you should. How about that? You like them apples?
As you should.
That's beautiful stuff.
But you say, the thing that I always say is, it's because sometimes people compliment me on my name. And they're like, oh, cool name. And I have a bit about it. I say, thanks, my mom picked it out.
Because
it's sort of like if somebody likes your shirt and you're like, thanks, my mom got it for me.
Oh.
It's a name from the family. But, you know, sometimes people get the joke. And then it's like, I have a cool name and I'm funny.
Is it named from the family because you have like a aunt who
I have a great grandmother.
Who
was named Althea.
Knew that.
No, no, no. This is the misinformation she wants to spread about me, people. It is not the first
Jerry
time.
Jerry Garcia, there you go.
No, she can't even pull the Grateful Dead guy's name. My grandpa. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. I'm not related to the Grateful Dead in any way. My parents, you know, no disrespect, but that's not where I come from.
They're grunge
you know?
People.
Yeah, they're grunge people, and it's my great-grandmother's name.
I sometimes say my African name and people like they say, oh, that's so beautiful. I'm like, say it. Say it back to me.
Say it back to me.
You think it's so beautiful? Say it back to me.
Yeah.
They can't say it.
Yeah.
I made myself laugh on that one. I like your hair. I'll say thanks. I grew it myself.
That's good. Yeah. Everything that is my body, I did do it by myself.
Unless it's a wig, then I tell them, thanks.
for noticing.
We got another phone, another call. I'm going to try to get it.
Okay.
And maybe
okay.
Just grab their comment off air.
Okay. All right. I have faith in you. If other folks want to give us their feedback, we may be doing it in unconventional means today. You can send us an email, thegapradio@gmail.com, or you can message us on Instagram, @thegapradio. We love responding to those things, but we also know, you know, people are in their car on their way to work. It's not always the most convenient. So if you think of something later, you can always reach out to us in that way, talking about compliments that you like to get, compliments you like to give to people. How do you receive compliments? Do they make you uncomfortable? These are the kinds of things we're talking about today.
And y'all are just going to have to listen, apparently. Sorry. Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm trying to think of some backhanded compliments that I've gotten.
Oh, a compliment sandwich? You ever heard of this?
Oh, that's like a personal improvement program thing.
Yeah, you're like, I like your shoes. You failed your math test, but you got a good energy about you.
Or like, I like your shoes. They're not as ugly as your last pair.
That's well, I feel like there's a phase, and I don't know if everybody goes through this, but definitely in my teenage years. I was like, I think I was tapping into the part of my brain that was like, you know, reading subtext and what people were saying. And then I was like, oh, your hair looks nice. Today's like, oh, so it looked bad before? And they're like, ooh. I didn't say that or mean that. You put effort into it and it looks nice. I just wanted to say it looked right. But I think there's like a phase where you just kind of bite people's heads off about it.
Yeah.
Do you have that experience?
We were not big compliment people.
Uh-huh.
Our friend group, I don't know. I'm just going to be honest with you. if a, like an elderly woman compliments me, I believe her.
Mm.
Everyone else, I just feel like they don't. They're not speaking their truth, you know.
Yeah.
But you get like an elder, especially an elderly Ethiopian lady, who's, yeah, you know, of I don't know, is this mommy issues? What am I talking about? But I, like, that's how I know that's a real compliment, you know?
Because, yeah, like, yeah.
Well, and I think
elders
also,
don't lie.
Elders, you know, don't lie.
And kids. I'll give that kids. I'll give kids and elders. Everything in between, I'll leave it.
You know, there's just less likelihood that they want something from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because a compliment, you know, makes you feel good and maybe you think more positively about the person who said it to you, kind of thing, might be, you know, what motivates that kind of thing. I don't know. Interesting.
I can't take I don't know. Compliments are an issue for me, but if it's anything about looks, but if it's like accomplishments, like you did a good, like this was a good show.
Yeah.
I'll take it because I know it's true.
Yeah.
I know you're not lying because it's true.
Yeah. My mom called over the weekend because she listened to the show later and was like, it was a great show.
Boom.
It was, you guys were really on it.
Boom.
You know? And I was like, thank you. And at that point, I'm like, it's in the past for me. I mean, I remember the show, but I'm not, you know, living in the aftermath of it. You know, that's, and there are certain people, you know, especially if you like respect them for a certain aspect and they say that they, you know, compliment you on something or they appreciate something about you, you're like, oh my gosh, that means so much. You know, my sister's got good style. If she tells me that she likes my outfit, I'm like, okay. Oh. Or, I mean, that's another benefit of thrifting in my mind is that it's like, yes, the shirt that I have is cool. I also have a story about how I got it. And I feel, and you know, that there's like more of a thing. Depth. Of like, I worked for this, you know, in a certain respect, you know, not
really.
I'm working on the crocheting. I've set it down for a little while. So
it makes it too cold to crochet right now. Mm. Fingertips and all.
True. My hands are cold.
Okay, so since we can't take any phone calls for now, so sorry. It makes me, I think maybe we can utilize some time to talk about or hear about how to give good compliments.
Yeah.
Maybe even how to receive them. Because I really like Barb's idea of saying, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Instead of thank you.
Yeah.
Saying, I know, people don't like that, I learned.
Yeah. I mean, certain times, like, it's fun. It's funny to be flippant if you say it in a fun way, but, you know, it's like, thanks, I know.
So how do you...
oh, my God. I mean, this is a classic one, but, like, if you compliment somebody on a dress or a skirt, and then they say, I know, and it has pockets.
Oh, that's the best response.
That is the best response, 100%. yeah. What do you think?
About
you know, what kind of compliments are you trying to give people?
Oh, I like that. Thank you. I want to give people compliments that I mean.
Mm-hmm. Not to just do it because you're uncomfortable, because it is kind of, sometimes it can be that, like, filling space.
Oh no, I could never. That could never be me.
That's not okay. That's not one of Tammy's problems, guys.
I'm not. I'm like learning. I've only learned to be nice in the last few years. So, giving people compliments. Yeah, I'm trying to think the last time I paid someone a compliment. Yeah, it's probably like around their work or like you did a really good job or it's really inspiring or like I see you.
Yeah.
Know, stuff like that. But nothing about like I could never go up to someone and be like, I like your dress or something. Like I'd feel
Maybe you've just really never weird. Seen somebody wear a dress that you were so compelled by. So that's kind of on everybody else in a way.
I've seen one person with a tattoo. I was like, wow, that is a cool tattoo.
Yeah.
And I like remember it because it was, and I remember telling her, I don't give people compliments. So you know what I mean?
Yeah. Tattoos are one I feel like is kind of in that like gray zone of if you should really comment on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause it's like,
it can be extremely personal.
Yeah,
it can be
sure,
extremely meaningful or not meaningful at all. And either way, you might be infringing onto some like, you know, personal stuff that people don't always want to talk about, which is fine.
If you, I'll tell you what I learned, and this is part of the my self-improvement of not being so mean. If you see someone and they're like peacocking in a way, or like they like did something new, and like you see that they're trying,
yeah,
it won't kill you to pay a compliment. You know,
true.
I see. You're like, okay, polka dots. You know, like,
yeah.
You see a little something.
Yeah.
Also, to not compliment the person, but what the thing is.
Right.
They're like, okay, glasses. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Well, and, you know, knowing somebody if they've, like, changed something or, you know, like, recognizing that they put effort into something rather than something that's just, like, intrinsic about them, I don't know, can be a better road if you're not sure about how to compliment people. It's like, you know, I like the thing that you did rather than, you know.
Because it's like, what am I going to look at you and sussing you out and start evaluating your outfit or your hairdo or your this and that? That's unbelievable. I'm not going to do any of that. No. Why? First, quite frankly, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I think most of us, and I think that's like part of this, most of us are walking around we're not like sussing people out, you know.
Very much in our own world.
Yes. So I get, I don't know. So maybe it would be nice. You know what? Althea, I'm inspired. I'm going to compliment 5 strangers today.
Whoa. You're going to see 5 strangers
today?
Okay,
I'm going to compliment 3 strangers today. I'm going to compliment 3 people today.
3 people. Okay. Yeah, you're allowed to know them, I think.
Okay, 3 people and 1 stranger.
3 people, 1 stranger.
Boom.
All right. You know, maybe you guys can set a similar goal out there. I think also something that might be helpful about that is that, you know, you're going to see what you're looking for. Whatever you decide you're looking for, like, I'm looking for things that are good about people that I interact with. You're going to see it. You're going to see those opportunities. And so I think that it's a good sort of, like, mental framing for the weekend. Think about it.
When we were talking and you said that I said, don't you just assume people are just going to be the worst? And then you talk to them and you're like, oh, you are the worst. Or, oh, no, you're not that bad. And you're like, no, I just assume that everyone would be pretty cool. And that has been such a shift in my perspective about like I feel myself, like, you know, going into a store or something, I'm just like, oh god, I don't want to be here, like, everyone's being super slow, or like, look at this person.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait, maybe I'll like them. And then all of a sudden, like, all of that goes away.
Yeah,
all of that goes away.
Well, I'm glad it's been fruitful for you.
It's, listen, I don't know what they're putting in the water, but I like it.
Well, we are just about out of time here. Again, apologies for the phone lines, folks. Can't compliment us on that one today.
I'm so sorry.
But you can message us on Instagram. You can email us. You can send us snail mail. We appreciate all of it. We appreciate you for listening. I think we're off next week.
Oh, yes, we are.
We're off next week, but we'll be back. And we'll miss you. And thank you so much for listening. This has been The Gap. I'm Althea.
I'm Tammy.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.